Hey bosses, this week's episode of Invest Like a Boss is presented by R Crowd. R Crowd gives accredited investors access to invest directly, easily, and early on some of the best performing IPOs. We'll tell you more about their latest offering in an innovative robotic surgery company during the break. But if you want to learn more now, you can head over to rcrowd.com/boss. That's ourcrowd.com/boss.
Hey bosses, as you know, these quarterly updates are now Patreon only exclusives. Thank you so much for all the Patreons for supporting the show and for basically letting us continue to produce as many episodes as we do every single month. This is a preview of the first part of the Patreon exclusive. If you want to see the rest of the video, actually you want to watch the video and see Sam and I's screens and have us go through an entire update of everything we invested in, everything we sold, where we lost money, where we earned money, and what our future plans are, go to investlikeaboss.com and click on Patreon or click on support the show. Plans start as low as $5 and you'll have access to the quarterly update of this is Q4 2020 as well as all the other ones and our buy sell notifications, all that good stuff. At the end of this episode, we are going to tack on the Bill Perkins update, this exclusive update where he talks about what actual MLPs he invests in. This went live about 2 weeks ago inside the Patreon group. So there's tons of things to benefit from. Take a look. It's at investlikeaboss.com. Click on Patreon to support the show. But either way, enjoy this episode and hopefully you are subscribed and you'll see future ones as well. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey, hey, what's up, bosses? What's up, Patreons? This is Johnny FD, and welcome to episode 159 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Sam, good to see you on video. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, man, good. You know what? You're in a robe, and I'm in a dress shirt. This is very odd attire for us. Normally, we're shirtless, and we're both in a nice hotel, it looks like.
Yeah,
that's not
yeah.
Anything new, I suppose.
So let me show you guys around a bit. I don't know if you can see.
Nice hotel, Johnny. You're stepping it up from your hostel life.
Yeah, you know what? I've been staying here for about 2 weeks now. I booked this place for a month. Like it so
much. Great. Funny because this is a transition I see you going through now where you're like, I'm cool with just, you know, living off whatever, $1,500 a month, $800 a month. And then you go out on the yacht and start talking to Bill Perkins. And now I can see you like, shit, chasing the superficial material life, the good life.
Yeah. You know, you have a Ukrainian girlfriend who likes like nice things. And you're just like, I can afford it. Let me enjoy life a bit. You know, I might die any day now. I might get hit by a bus.
That's right. Yeah. It's good to have someone push you along a little bit. You can always go back and retire into a much more simple version of yourself, right? At any point.
Yeah, that is true. And I had my first sip of alcohol last week as well. And last night, second sip last night.
That's funny. I'm actually trying to practice Sober October right now. Uh-huh. But what I've come to realize is that Sober October just means mostly sober. It's more of a guidance, not a necessarily a rule. But I've taken 2 days off. That's progress.
Yeah, for you, that's a huge deal. Congrats on that. Okay. So guys, in today's episode, we're going to be going over our quarterly updates, both with travel, lifestyle, goals, and most importantly, investing, what we bought, what we sold. And there's going to be a lot in there. And at the end of the episode, we're going to tack on the exclusive follow-up interview that I did with Bill Perkins after talking about MLPs. And that's going to be kind of available for everyone when this comes out. But actually, if you're a Patreon, which you are if you're watching this video, that actually came out 2 weeks ago as soon as I filmed it, just so you guys can get in early on that. So before we kind of dive into all the investing stuff, Sam, where in the world are you? Are you in Mexico?
I just got back from Mexico. So I'm in Greenville, South Carolina.
Nice.
I'm self-quarantining at a hotel here just because I'm about to go see family and my girlfriend. And, you know, I thought it'd be respectful. So I got the COVID test. Okay. They're fast now. They're like, you can get rapid tests. They're like 10 minutes. The one I got was one day. So it was negative. But I just got back from Mexico. It's free.
Really?
Like every CVS and Walgreens do them now. It's like $50.
Okay.
But pretty much if you look up wherever you're at and you just Google free COVID testing, most places I've found they'll do it like every third day at like a church or something. They'll have some institution come in and do the free one. So I found a free one.
Nice. So
good value.
Yeah, that's good value. How many days are you quarantining for it in your hotel?
Three days. Oh, I didn't need to, but it's way nicer here than in my Charlotte apartment or I'm basically living in hotels full time right now until I get moved into the house. So
I'm actually living in the hotel full time now, but
yeah,
it's been nice not moving around.
Yeah. But you don't own 8 properties, Johnny. It's pathetic what I'm doing. I own 8 properties. I have access to 0 of them. So I own 8 properties. I am renting a place.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm living in hotels full time. It's an extravagant waste of money.
It sounds like it. So did John McAfee finally move out of your Barcelona apartment?
Yeah. What happened with that? He just got nailed for tax evasion, right?
And
I think he got arrested.
Yeah. In Spain. So
it just goes to show you, man. You mean you flick your nose up at the authorities for that long.
They'll come at you. Hot list. Yeah. With taxes, the IRS, you can get away with it for a while, but they will come after you, and they have, you know, pretty much unlimited time. I mean, I think technically it's like 10 or 13 years, but I think they can always go after you.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it stings. Like I just got my tax bill, right?
Okay.
Have you paid your taxes for 2019 yet?
Yeah. I paid it like 6 months ago. You realize it's like October, right?
Yeah, no, I always file extension because I have shit coming in from all these random places that take time to get, you know, a lot of my statements I didn't get till like a month or two ago. So I always file an extension. But I pay usually an estimated payment like 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago. My total tax this year, and it wasn't any capital gains. It was all on earned income, like not earned, but ordinary dividend interest, stuff like that. $122,000 of tax. And I was like, I just got that bill. I'm like, I don't have like $122,000 in cash. So I literally have to go sell shit to pay my tax. And it stings, right? Because, I mean, it never feels like you're making that much money, especially when it's not a big capital gain, right? It's, and then like I'm in Mexico and you meet all these people that are like, oh, I don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
Like this one dude is probably 65 and he's like, I've never paid taxes. He's like, I was 24 and they kept sending me all these, IRS kept sending me all these threatening letters. And I called them and I'm like, why are you guys sending me these letters? He's like, well, you haven't filed your taxes. You're not paying your taxes, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're delinquent. And he goes, it's because I don't have a job. Mm-hmm. They're like, you don't have a job. How are you living? He's like, I'm living with my girlfriend. She's fully supporting me. Mm-hmm. And the IRS goes, that's really nice of her. He's like, yeah, I think so as well. Mm-hmm. They go, all right, well, once you get a job, just make sure you file and, you know, we'll stop sending you letters for now.
Yeah.
And another 30 years go by, he hasn't paid. But I mentioned this to my accountant. I'm like, such bullshit. Like I'm doing everything by the book. I'm paying on all these complex foreign structures that, you know, frankly, I know a lot of people don't pay. And he's basically like, yeah, at some point they're all going to get nailed. Or you're the guy that only has, you know, 50,000 in net assets. And like, yeah, they're probably never going to go after you, but you want to take that road and like hide in Mexico and do shit the illegal way. Right. And that's what these guys are doing down there. So
yeah, for some people that is a good life, a good choice, but I would say you're in a better position. Did you qualify for the foreign earned income exclusion this year?
No, because I don't have any earned income this year. Okay. And also I've been in the States the entire year, but next year, it looks like I will. And that's, you know, that's a bit, I mean, basically all of my tax came from most of my tax, is from actually the Maple Tree REITs in Singapore. And I've got like a $600,000 gain on those over the course of 4 or 5 years. And because, and it's a REIT, Johnny, right? So it's like, if it was a US based REIT, it would not be gains until you sold it, right? Just like any other stock. But because it's a foreign asset, it's considered like a PFIC. You have to pay tax on the unrealized gain. So if it goes up 30% a year, and it's not capital gains, it's ordinary income. So I'm getting nailed, but they've been such good investments. And I'm like, I don't want to sell them just because I'm paying a lot of tax on them, because they're, you know, they've been incredible, but it still stings at the end of every year.
But if it ever goes down, you've already paid tax on it and you probably can't get that back unless you do what Trump did, I guess.
No, you can. It goes as an ordinary loss. So if it goes down 30%, if I lose 100,000 mark to market, I would write that off as an ordinary loss. So that is a good thing in a sense, a silver lining. But yeah, I mean, on the way up, you get cremated.
That is crazy. There has to be some way where you can just not pay tax on that. I mean,
yeah, sell it.
We'll figure it out. I'll put you in touch with my account.
Right. Yeah, that'd be good. I want a second opinion.
Yeah. You know what? I that's a good point. It's always good to have a second opinion. California sent me a letter. California's, you know, IRS, I guess, sent me a letter in the mail a few weeks ago saying, hey, Johnny, we noticed that you haven't filed or paid California state taxes in the last couple of years. Where's our money? And first off, I was like, okay, California is broke because everyone's leaving because their policy. Yeah. Everyone hates. My favorite YouTuber, this guy from Geography Now, it's a random geography channel. He posted a message saying that he's going to temporarily stop making videos because he wants to spend all his time cleaning up literal garbage from the streets in his house, like in front of his house, because he says he just can't focus and he can't write scripts. He's like, I can't work or I can't film while this is going on. And I'm like,
get out of there. Dude, people are just polluting the streets and littering.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
I think that's the world's worst offense.
Yeah.
Like littering. I think it's the world's worst offense. Like, I think it's worse than like aggravated assault, like whatever, because there's just, you can't justify it. Like if you walk up to someone and you punch them in the face, you're justifying it for a reason. But if you just take like a Pepsi can and just throw it on the street, there's no way you can justify that. You're just a piece of shit.
These guys are living in tents in front of his house. So they, you know, they're like, I don't have a garbage can. I'm just going to throw my stuff in your driveway.
I hate hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
I hate hearing that stuff.
And I mean, well, it's good you don't live in California.
But you do see it a lot in the States for some reason. Probably see it in India a lot too, but I've never been. So.
Yeah. So it's crazy what's going on, you know, back in California. That's a huge reason why I left and I'll never move back, you know. And luckily I was able, my accountant Grace, she was able to just write a letter, have me sign it. She sent it in for me, and California wrote back saying, we will not pursue this case for now, which means hopefully
for now.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, like check my records. Like I haven't even been in California in the last 5 years.
Yeah. I would say that's pretty black and white for you. There's not a whole lot of concern, right?
Yeah. But I think they're desperate. I think California is desperate for tax money. That's they're going after small fish like me for back in 2016, you know, where I was actually earning money, and they're like, oh, this guy, you know, what's this Shopify 1099 for $250,000 that he never paid.
Well, I've heard this recently that 98% of California taxes is paid by the 1% of Californians in terms of the absolute amount. So they're not actually worried about the masses leaving, they're worried about that 1% leaving. You know, the San Francisco people that are moving to the Nevada side of Tahoe, like those type of people that have all the money that are making the move. If they move, then there's some serious trouble, or they have to, yeah, they have to start getting more money from the smaller guys.
So I was looking into where I would live if I moved back to the US. I'm a Texas resident, so I'll go there first, obviously. But if I was going to move from there, there's two places I'll think about. Besides Florida, I don't know. I don't want to be Florida man, but
Florida's a crazy place nowadays, man.
It's always been crazy, but now I can imagine now.
Yeah.
So one would be Portland, Washington. Have you heard of this city?
Okay. No, Washington's pretty okay.
So it's actually on, I think it's Portland, Washington. It's on the border of Seattle and Oregon. And I believe it's Seattle has no income tax and Oregon has no sales tax. So if you live on the border, you can technically earn all your money, you know, income tax free, and then go across the border. It takes 20 minutes and do all your shopping, and then you can save on sales tax.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's number one. Oh, the second would be Tennessee. I don't know if Nashville or somewhere else. Good. They as of, I think, next year, they're going to be the 9th tax-free state, completely tax-free.
Yeah. Tennessee's going to blow up.
Yep.
It's going to blow up. I was just over there like 2 weeks ago. We're at Fort Mexico. And the guy there that's living there, he's like, that's kind of news, but we've never had tax here. Like, no, people just, I mean, no one really pays tax. State doesn't enforce shit. And it's a cool, I mean, Tennessee's a cool place. Like,
yeah.
It's got great culture and tons of recreation, like all types of recreation, surrounded by pretty cool states in the Appalachians. You got the Appalachian Trail that runs right through it. It's pretty sick. I like Tennessee a lot. Good location in the Southeast, you know?
Yeah, I like it. So Sam, I guess that's our travel and kind of life tax avoidance updates.
Not me, just Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. I am paying my taxes, just to let you know. This year, I paid $4,500 in tax.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's because I'm overseas.
You get helped out so much by the foreign earned income exclusion. That's like...
Yeah, that's a huge part of it.
That's the big one.
Yeah, and the second is just having everything basically be a business expense. Like, you know, I would plan my travels around the conferences, you know, around... You know, stuff like that. But this year is a little bit different. This year, basically 12 months in Sri Lanka. I just got done doing a 2-week paid trip by the Sri Lanka Tourism Board. Yeah. 4- and 5-star hotels, all for free, free food, free transport for 2 entire weeks. And I'm making money from the YouTube channel now. So it's kind of like a double whammy.
You're starting to look a little Sri Lankan, I got to be honest.
Yeah. Or maybe... Yeah. more Genghis Khanish, more Mongolian.
Yeah, nice. So what's big on your quarter for the finances and investment? You're making more money now, it seems like.
No, so actually, I'm actually not making more money. I think I've really taken the Bill Perkins approach to heart, where I've decided, you know what, I'm getting closer to, you know, this big, you know, 1 million goal. But I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. Like, I think it could have happened if I took bigger risks, even like beginning this year during the kind of beginning of the pandemic. If I just put everything, you know, into stocks, I might actually be a millionaire today. But nobody knew that was going to happen. Everybody was holding cash. And I think it was a prudent thing to do. So instead of kicking myself in the butt about it, I decided, you know what, I'd rather just go slow and steady. I'll hit it eventually. If I don't, it's not really going to change anything. So what I started doing is I started actually spending more money. That's why I'm staying in a hotel for a month. It's still not that expensive. It's $1,500 or $1,600 for the month, but that's 3 times as much as I would normally spend. But I just figure, like, where else in the world am I going to be able to stay in a true 4-star hotel with the infinity pool on the roof and a sick gym and a jacuzzi and steam room and like amazing breakfast for $1,500 a month. Like, you know, you can't do that in the US. You know, you can do it for like 3 days in the US. Yeah. So I figured, let me just spend some money, enjoy myself, and let it either not grow, hopefully not dwindle, but not grow. So this quarter, kind of big things I did.
Wish you were in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020. Our crowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. With our crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our crowd investors have benefited from our crowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat or even being bought by companies like Intel, Nike, Microsoft, and Oracle. Our crowd has closed investments on over 200 companies, of which dozens of those have made exits. Today, you can join our crowd's investment in Mimic. Mimic explains that their tiny robotics allow surgeons to be less invasive and safely perform gynecological surgeries so women can heal faster and have less scarring. Mimic is a much-needed innovation in the rapidly growing multi-billion dollar robotic surgery market. You can get in early on Mimic and other unique opportunities right now at ourcrowd.com/boss. If you're interested in investing, you got to sign up now. It's ourcrowd.com/boss. ourcrowd.com/boss to sign up for your free account now.
Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed the preview of this Q4 update. Sam and I go into all of our investments, what we bought and we sold, in the full 1 hour plus video share. And you can see us basically log into our accounts. You can see our dashboards. Everything's in there. Sam's made some big changes this quarter, as did I. So if you want to watch and listen to the entire episode, go to investlikeaboss.com, click on Patreon, or click on support the show. Sign up for as low as $5 a month, and you get access to this this full episode, as well as all the quarterly updates and all the other exclusive content in there. And you're supporting the show. So if you enjoy the show, you're getting a lot out of it, please consider subscribing and being a patron. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned for Bill Perkins' follow-up episode right now. Bill Perkins, thanks so much for coming back on. It's great to catch up with you.
Hello. Again. Yeah, it's good to be back, you know?
Yeah. So it looks like you're on a boat right now. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm on a boat. I'm docked right now. We are here. Let me give you. We're kind of docked. Got the nets down, everything, hanging out. We're in a Yacht Haven Grand in the Virgin Islands.
Nice.
Had to run a few errands down here and then go cruising.
That's fantastic. So actually, since I spoke to you, I think just about a month ago, your book, Diary of Zero, inspired me to go with my girlfriend on a super yacht for a night. And we had like the best experience of our lives.
Yeah. Nice. Did you enjoy it?
It was amazing. It was incredible.
It was like a taste. No matter how much you say how great it's going to be, you can't oversell it. You can't oversell it, because once you're on there, it's just amazing, you know?
So I always thought I would have to either have the net worth of $100 million to be able to afford one of these yachts myself, or I'd have to, you know, be 70 years old and start, you know, kind of blowing money. But it turns out it's not that expensive. It's not that outrageous to rent a Ferrari for a day or rent a Lamborghini, or, you know, charter a yacht, or especially charter, you know, to go on a shared yacht for a day and split it with six people.
Yeah. Not only, the first thing is that you got to identify what you want, but then you'll start the optimization of the optimization, right? Like, you're finding out, oh, wow, it's not as expensive as I thought, right? Like, you had this experience. Once you've identified the experience, or maybe you were just like, didn't really take it too seriously, you didn't really investigate the cost or how to chop it up or bring it with friends, et cetera. And if you were like solely focused on it, you'd probably find the best yacht deals, whatever, like for free, you know, like virtually free, like guys that are hunting airline fares out, right? And rebates, yeah. And $25 tickets and stuff like that. So you can have a secondary optimization. One is the optimization of what do you want and when you want to have that experience. And then that's the first one. And then the second one would be cost optimization, you know? But It all takes being off autopilot and attacking the problem.
Yeah, definitely agree. So I am curious, these yachts that I see you and Dan Bilzerian on, do one of you own that yacht? Who's paying for it?
Well, the last one I paid for, that I rented them. I am not yet in the own yacht category. What level of wealth? Because they cost, it's not even the purchase price. it's the annual maintenance. It's mm-hmm. like the annual taking care of one of these super yachts is ludicrous. So you have to factor that in your ownership. So even if they give it to you for free, it's like, oh, it costs $5 million a year to run. It's like, yeah. it's gone, you know? Whether you, and with the maintenance, the crew, the staff, the licensing, yada, 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 yada. So it's much better for me to just, and I wouldn't spend enough time. I suppose if I lived on it forever, it's one of those things. So for me, it's a snippet in time. I'm happy to pay the rental fee in order to yeah. get that experience that I want. It's not like I want to have just that experience. So I pay a slight premium to not have to spend $25 to $65 million on the yacht and $5 million a year in maintenance, you know, that type of thing.
That actually makes sense.
You know? So I'll happy yeah. pay them the, you know, the six figures. Yeah. Go ahead.
How much was it per night?
It depends on the yacht. I had a 200. Yeah. I took a one out for 2 weeks mm-hmm. for 350 and 350K per week. Okay. And I took one out for 1 week for like 275.
Wow. And how big are these yachts?
For the week. So these are big, big yachts.
Okay. So like how many feet were they?
210 feet.
Oh, wow.
Excuse
that's
me?
That's a mega yacht.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are the big boys. These are things okay. that I cannot, I don't expect to be able to acquire them in my lifetime.
Okay.
You know, if it happens and you know, there's a great year and a thing and things go well, then I'll do it.
Yeah. But you know what? Either way, you're living your life now and not waiting until you die, basically.
No. These are the experiences that I identify I want to have. Like I identify the experiences and then I allocate the money, right? I've always been like, I got this money because I want to have this, and this type of experience, right?
Yeah.
And when I had, you know, a level of awareness about my life path. And so I'm like, okay, this goes now. I'm not going to use it for all these other things in the future. I'm going to use it for this experience now. Cash in on those memory dividends, and they're great.
Yeah, and we love it. All the Invest Like a Boss podcast listeners have loved it. Guys in the Boss Towns loved it. They did have one question for you that they were dying to know, especially because after we had you on your episode, we had on someone talking about MLPs. And the question that everyone wants to know is, what MLPs do you invest in yourself?
Yeah, so bosses, my MLPs I invest in, I generally invest in energy midstream dividend MLPs. The two I'm most associated with is Energy Transfer, symbol ET, mm-hmm. and MPLX, which is Marathon Partners, I believe. The main reason why, like, especially Energy Transfer, I'm it's been beaten down with this crude price debacle, and they have a slightly higher debt ratios, but I'm familiar with them. They only have one customer. I mean, they're not dependent on one customer, right? They have a diversity of customers. They don't just move crude oil. They move crude oil, natural gas, ethane, helium. They have a diversified portfolio, so I think they can withstand several shocks. There's questions about whether they'll need to cut their dividend to maintain their credit rating, and I'm like, I don't care if they cut their dividend right now. It's a long-term play. I reinvest the dividends. I think they will be around well past my lifespan.
Okay.
Somebody's always going to have to move these materials. Mm-hmm. And I like their prospects. I like their diversity of assets, their diversity of customer base, and their kind of insulation from price shocks.
Oh, I love it. That was the next question is, so this is a long-term hold for you. This is like more than 5 years, more than 10-year holds?
I think it's more than 5 years. I look at it as like, wow, with even my adjusted dividends, like let's say they're going to cut it for a year or not cut it for a year or cut it in half. The cash flow that it affords me, that's a lot, you know, I could do some yachts with that. Maybe not as big, but I could do some yachts with that investment. And so, you know, the most powerful force in the universe is compound interest, as people like to say. And so I like reinvesting the dividends, for 5 years. And then after 5 years, I won't be reinvesting in dividends. I'll be taking it out and spending it plus the principal, you know?
Okay. I love it. And do you ever worry about, you know, the price per share when you sell it? So like, for example, MPLX, you know, 5 years ago was trading at $77. Now it's at, you know, what is it, $18. Do you think that you'll ever be able to sell it and get your money back out, you know, besides just getting the dividends?
I mean, I'm relying on these that the dividend to force the value of the stock more so than capital appreciation. I'm not really into the stock for capital appreciation. I'm in for the dividend. So my biggest risk, the way I look at it, is yes, the terminal value at which I exit will affect my total return. But the price at which I'm getting in, if long as the dividends stay reasonable over those periods, it might affect my total return, but I'll still have a positive return and make some money. So, I mean, there's no investment without risk. This is a risk that we take, but given the attractive yields, the attractive levels, the enterprise value of these companies, I feel it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, I was just about to pull the trigger and invest some money because I'm sitting on some cash now. And I was just trying to figure out what to invest, which one to invest in. So now that I got your kind of inside knowledge, I'm going to be probably putting 50-50 into these two. Would I be crazy to do 10% of my net worth in MLPs?
I don't think you would be crazy. I think you would. I'm a little bit on the crazier side because I'm heavily concentrated in energy, which has its unique risks, right? Lawsuits over pipelines, delay projects, and stuff like that. Those are the risk things. And you know, if you have a Seeking Alpha account, you can go in and see all the articles that do very smart guys that do deep dives in different segments to give you a better risk profile. But I'm heavily concentrated in midstream oil and gas in the energy sector. And I would say that if you were going to do MLPs to put 10% of your net worth, I don't think that's crazy. I would just not completely go to one sector such as I have, right? Like I would maybe look at some farming or land or minerals or other MLP structures that are out there.
Okay. But you love energy. So, and I love what you're doing.
I'm an wild child, right?
Yeah. I think there's a gambling term for this. Yeah. Like I'm riding on your bet.
I'm a wild
guy. Okay, this guy's put in $8 million on. I'll put $80,000 in on top of his bet. I was gonna ride his coattails.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, there's a saying. You know, it's kind of a weird saying, and it's almost arrogant in a way. But it's like, I wasn't put on this earth to make 4%. You know what I mean? Like, that's just my mentality, right? As a trader or whatever. So I'm like, oh, high yielding, something stressed. Let me do my homework. Some here I kind of know. I want to take that risk. I think worst case scenario is going to yield 12 over my holding period. I'm in, you know, that's me. Given where my biological age is and my net worth, et cetera, it's acceptable risk for me, you know?
I love it. So, you know, it sounds like you're living a good life. You made some good investing decisions. So I'm happy to ride on your coattails. I was just on a 84-foot yacht, which seemed giant to me, but I can't even imagine how big the big boy 240-foot club would be.
Yeah, it's like your own personal floating hotel. It's a great experience. Even the 84-foot yachts. I mean, quite honestly, being on the water is a great, great experience. And having, you know, catering on the water and being able to travel like that is a great experience. I guess that's why certain people love cruising with a bunch of people. You know, I love smaller, more intimate. But either way, you know, there's some joy and great experience you can have being on the water. So I highly recommend it.
I love it. Bill, I hope I get to sail with you one day or hang out with you one day somewhere in the world. You've been awesome. Thanks so much for all your advice and for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
See ya. Enjoy the water.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.